Hi, this is Caroline. I am super excited by a new feature that I have available for you. If you go to my show notes, you'll see a link that says, I would love to hear from you. Text message me here. Yes, you can now text message me. So if you have any thoughts about an episode, if you've got ideas for an episode, if you'd just like to connect and say hi, then click on that link. I'd love to hear from you. Hi there, I'm Caroline Thor, professional organiser, KonMari consultant, teacher and mum of three. I started off my life as a mum feeling overwhelmed, disorganised and desperately trying to carve out some time for me amongst the nappies, chaos and clutter. One day, one small book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying changed everything and I began to learn strategies for making everyday life easier. Today I have the systems in place that means life can throw almost anything at me and I want to share them with you. If you're an overwhelmed mum struggling to keep it together, then this is the podcast for you. Grab a coffee and settle in for a quick chat with someone who gets your reality. Hi there. Before we get going with this episode, I thought I would give it a bit of an introduction. This is a chat I had about 4 weeks ago with Gronya, who is a life coach and someone that I met when she was living in Germany. And she seemed to me to be the perfect person to talk about what it's like to get organized for relocating a family. This chat was so much fun. And there are so many great tips in there. So sit back, enjoy, get yourself a cup of tea or coffee. If you haven't got one, you've got time to press pause. And I hope you enjoy it as much as we had fun recording it. Hi there, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Living Clutter-Free Forever podcast. It's wonderful that you're here and listening. In today's episode, I'm excited to be talking to Gronya. Originally from Ireland, she has worked in the corporate world, started her own business, and she herself has relocated internationally three times, twice with small children. Today, she runs Strong Path Coaching, transformational coaching for busy mums. And amongst the services she offers is helping mums to relocate. Gronya, welcome.
Hello, hi, and thank you so much for having me on, Caroline. It's so lovely to talk to you.
It's great to have you here. Thanks so much for making the time. Okay, so first of all, tell us a bit about yourself and how you got to the season of your life that you're in now. You started off in Ireland. We can tell from your accent. Yeah. Where have you been in between and where are you now?
Yeah, so you're completely right. I was born and bred in Belfast and actually I went to university in Belfast. I got married in Belfast. So I kind of think at that stage of my life, my family all thought I was forever in Belfast. And then I think probably 10 months after I got married, I was like, oh, I have a surprise for everyone. And of course, they all thought I was pregnant, but actually I was moving to England, which was a complete curveball. I think my family were completely shocked. But me and my husband were always very ambitious. We both were very focused on our careers. We worked for a medical company in Ireland. I was in marketing. He was a biomedical engineer, still is a biomedical engineer. And we had really reached where we had gone to in Northern Ireland. There was nowhere else we could go. And both of us at that stage thought it was the perfect time to take our careers that step further. And we both applied for a global medical company in England. My husband got the job first, and he actually moved out before me. And then I followed him as soon as I could get a position there. So we lived in England for about 3.5 years. I say lived in England, but actually I would say we worked in England. Our whole lives revolved around work. We were just traveling, working, totally in our element. We, as I said, we were so career focused. So that was our whole lives. And then in 2013, when we were living there about 3 years, two and a half years, I got pregnant with my daughter. So at that stage, I was one of these mums that was like, I'm going to go back to work after about 4 months on maternity leave, and totally convinced that my career was still going to be the main focus of my life. And then, of course, this tiny bundle was handed to me and just everything changed from that moment. When Molly was about 3 months old, my husband came to me and said there was an opportunity in Germany for him. Immediately, I said no. I was like, you know, for me to move to Germany with him, I would have had to give up my entire career. The other thing was I had started to build a network in England. So, I mean, to be honest, it was one conversation I had with my mum. It changed everything. My mum had 5 children and she just said, you will never regret taking time with your children. And I, to be honest, at that stage, even at 3 months old, I was actually having anxiety about going to work. I was going to take the full year, but going back to work, I thought, I just knew how busy my job was. I knew how demanding it was as well. And I knew that going back, we'd change that relationship I had with my daughter. And also the way that I had decided I wanted to bring her up, I really got focused on attachment parenting. And I knew if I went back to work that's not possible to be an attachment parent when you had a job like I did. No. So off we went to Germany.
Brave step.
It was, to be honest, I don't think, when I tell people, they're like, oh, that was so brave. And I think, I'm not sure I put that much thought into it. I just,
you know what? I didn't either. I moved to Germany with not a lot of thought.
No, I think I just thought, okay, well, I can stay at home with Molly. I'll go. I mean, let's not worry about the fact I don't speak the language. I don't know anything about the culture. But off we went. And we were there 5 years. I had Aiden 2 years and 2 days after I had Molly. I actually went into labour the day after Molly's second birthday.
Good timing, Aiden. Well done.
But I think actually it was me saying, oh, we had to have her birthday. And then I went, and he thought, oh, it's time to come.
So, but now you've got 2 birthday parties back to back. That's quite stressful.
It is. Every year it's very stressful. Yeah. Every year I ask myself why. It's also the week before Halloween, which I'm a big Halloween person. So it's crazy for a few weeks. But yes, so we moved off to Germany. I had to build a network from scratch. We got a really amazing life in Germany. I loved Heidelberg. I'm sure you're the same, Caroline.
Yeah. But
so beautiful. I've never lived anywhere as beautiful. It had such an amazing expat community. We just loved Heidelberg. And then 5 years in, my husband's like, oh, an opportunity has come up in Indianapolis. And again, I was like, no, we're not going. It's not happening.
I've just learned German. You can't expect me to move again.
Absolutely. And building that network. And I was just in such a great place. And then I just thought, you know what? I think this is just, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, okay, let's do it. That was a bigger thought process. Than going to Germany. Molly was only 3 months when I moved to Germany. I think I was so involved in that newborn stage and being a first-time mum that I maybe didn't have the time to think about it, where this time I did. And off we went, and we've been here 3 years now, and we absolutely love it. Again, we've built a really fabulous network. Despite COVID, we have really great friends. Where we live, there's fabulous schools. We've been able to get back on the property ladder again, which we couldn't do in Germany. So it has all of the benefits. The one thing I will say is I do not like the winters here. They are so cold.
Okay. How cold is so cold?
Okay. So I'm going to work in Celsius. Last year went to minus 20.
Oh my goodness.
So I thought Heidelberg was cold. I remember getting to like minus 7, minus 8.
Yeah, that's my limit.
No. We have Irish skin. Irish skin is not made for cold weather. It literally burns. It burns. I did not know this.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Well, we're suffering with the heat here at the moment in Germany. I say suffering, it's not gone below 30 for as long as I can remember. So I'm actually off to the UK at the weekend and I cannot wait for cloud and rain. And it's the things you miss about where you came from is the weather, definitely.
Absolutely. And we did the same because I'm just back 4 weeks from Ireland and it was Oh, it was lovely getting home and getting the rain and getting even the sound of the rain. I think so nostalgic when you haven't heard it for so long. Yeah. We had a drought in June, so by the time I went back in July, I was ready for the rain. The only thing I will say on your behalf is there's no air conditioning in Germany, and that kills me, where I much prefer the American air condition. They're obsessed with their air conditioning, but I'm kind of obsessed with it now too, especially having to live in Germany. I mean, the week that we moved, it went up to 40 degrees. It broke records, and we were moving home. Yeah. We were carrying things and stripping wallpaper and painting, and it was 40 degrees. It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I remember that my very first day in Germany, it was the end of July. It was the day after my husband's birthday, and it was also 40 degrees. And we were in this top floor apartment under the roof, just sweltering. And I was just thinking, what have I done? Why would I do this? And I insisted we go out the next day and buy a very large fan. Yeah. Which we're still using to this day, sort of 17 years later. It's crazy. Can I just take you back to the point you made about giving more thought to the move to America?
Yeah.
I think you were saying when you moved to Germany, you know, very much involved in this having a new baby phase, and that's all consuming, and that's really all you're thinking about. And then obviously by the time it came to going to the States 5 years later, you've got children who are at an age when they're very aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
And you as mummy are going to be very concerned that they are also going to cope. It's not just you that's got to deal with the move. It's how are they going to deal with the pressures as well. So I guess that was playing at the forefront of your mind as well.
I think that was also one of the major decision makers, because the kids were 3 and 5. And I thought, if I leave this any later, it's going to be too much of a transition for them. So I kind of felt this was the perfect time. But as you're completely right, they were totally aware. And it's funny, I have two completely different children. I mean, Aiden was only 3, so it wasn't, I couldn't really explain what was happening.
No.
So when we arrived to America, we were put in a temporary apartment. It was beautiful. None of our furniture, all our furniture was still coming in a container and by boat. We ended up in this beautiful apartment complex. It had a pool. It had, you know, even this beautiful clubhouse. The whole feel was like we were on holiday. We also moved in July. So we were at the pool every single day. And I think my son's brain was, oh, we're on holiday. By 2 weeks later, we were at one of the play parks. And I said, okay, let's go home. And he just looked at me and went to Germany. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I said, no. We don't live in Germany anymore. And I tried to explain to him. I would say we had 2 weeks of that where he kept questioning when we were going back to Germany. He was not himself. He was having tantrums. He was crying a lot. And that was his way of processing it. After that 2 weeks, it was fine. Molly was completely the opposite. Now, I know Molly. She had delayed responses. And I had said, even before we moved, I said to my husband, we were moving in the July, and I said, it's going to hit her in September. I was convinced it was going to be September. We moved. She loved that everyone spoke English. English was her stronger language. Mm-hmm. She loved making friends. She loved the new school. She loved where we were living. September came and went. Nothing happened. And I thought, oh, we seem to have missed this. Then in the November, we went for Thanksgiving to my uncle. So I have my mum's brother lives in Washington, D.C., so we went to visit him. And the last time we had visited him was during our home finders trip in June. And from his home, we flew to Frankfurt. And on the night before we were to leave to go back to Indiana, my daughter looked at me and went, are we going back to Frankfurt? And I went, no, we're going to Indiana. And she, from that November until the beginning of February, she had to sleep in my bed every night.
Oh, bless
every
her.
Night she cried because she wanted to go back to Germany. It was only at nighttime. So during the day she got on, she was great. But every single night we had to look through her memory book of Germany. I am very much a person that believes you have to live in your emotions. I had quite a few people criticize me saying, you're letting her look at her memory book. You shouldn't be doing that. But I'm a real believer of, I don't know, have you ever read the book 90 Seconds to a Life That You Love?
I haven't, no.
It's by Joan Rosenberg, and she's a believer that you should sit in your emotions, that that is the best way to process them. Mm-hmm. So I just live that. I always say, okay, let's just go through it. Let's look at memories of Germany. Let's grieve that life that you had. And then my in-laws came in early February, and that was it. She just went back to her own bed, never brought it up again. And I think she just needed that grieving process of, this is the life that I had. This was all my friends. But it was tough. It was really tough. And she just needed that time to process the transition.
And tough for you as a parent as well, because you carry a certain amount of guilt that it's your actions that have created this issue for her.
Yeah, neither of my children said to me, I want to go to America. It was all out of their control. And I think for me, it was hard to process too. I had to grieve living in Heidelberg. But I chose that. They never chose that.
No.
I think that, as you said, there is a massive guilt attached to that. And you're right, I had guilt every single evening.
Yeah.
But I had to be confident that the decision that we made to move to Indiana was the best decision for our family. And I had to just help her through that process.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a move 3 years ago to a neighboring village. So no distance at all. And my youngest was 7. And we talked it through with them. We felt it was just down the road. There wasn't going to be any issue. And his little world just unraveled, completely unraveled. And it wasn't until then, it was almost a year later, when we'd had a year of dealing with all this unraveling, and that we actually then ended up with an autism diagnosis for him. And then the penny drops and you're like, ah,
that's what
this is why this has been so hard for him.
Yeah.
And he just didn't cope at all. But even my girls, who are completely neurotypical, they also were mourning for the fact there was no bus connection to their old village. So in order to get back, they were reliant on me driving them, and they felt like they'd lost their independence and they had no friends in the village where we were living. And it's a tough thing to do. So even moving country is just huge, absolutely huge.
And I think, as you're saying, I mean, your son was 8 as well. So I think it's harder at that age. That's why I'm saying, I think that 3 and 5 was, for me, it felt like the last chance that we could move again. Because I don't know. I know you only move village as well. I mean, and we've moved since we've lived here too. I think that, you know, it is hard regardless. And I think the older they get, the more they're aware of the change and the more they're aware of that it's not in their control.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, an 8-year-old moving, it would be so much harder. And as you said, with the autism as well, that's completely changing everything that he was comfortable with and familiar with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we opened a can of worms there. Having said that, that's a good thing. Otherwise, maybe we wouldn't have become aware so soon of his issues, which is great that he's been able to have the support put in place, which is excellent for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got into coaching at some point. So you'd been within the sort of business world, companies working for this medical company. So what point did you get into coaching?
So the coaching, when Aiden turned 2, he went to kindergarten part-time. And all of a sudden I'm stuck at home going, I need more. Like, as much as, you know, being a mum is fabulous, and I think those early years up until 2, you're so busy that you can't focus on anything else. But all of a sudden I was thinking, oh, I need to be doing something else. And I just did not know what that was going to be. And I went back and forth with so many different ideas. I had got into self-development while I was working in corporations. So I'm going to say like 5 years before, I had really got into like the Feel the Fear book, Tony Robbins, Mel Robbins, and it was just something that consumed me. I absolutely loved reading self-development books. I loved reading about how to create happy lives. I'm a big believer in manifestation and the universe. And it was something that I kind of have always been a cheerleader of people. I've just always been that person that's saying to other people, go for it, do it. I have to tell you, I'm not as good when it comes to myself, but with others, I'm always like, do it, you know.
I think that often happens.
I think you're right, especially with women. And I think the other thing that was having a girl was a real eye opener for me. I think there were so many things that I accepted in society that all of a sudden were so clear to me that weren't fair. I mean, one of the things I remember reading was in the Forbes 500 CEO list, there are more James, people called James, than there are women. And I remember being like, is that the world I want my daughter to grow up in?
That's
like,
crazy.
Exactly. And I'm not one of these people that sits back and goes, that's terrible. I'm like, how can I change this? The other then really obvious thing to me was when I met my expatriate in Heidelberg, I had an image of what a stay-at-home mom was in my head. And it was this maternal woman who had always wanted to stay at home with her children. And that was basically her career. That's what she had always wanted to do. I turned up to these expat groups with these other stay-at-home moms, and they were geologists. They were doctors. They were researchers. They were really educated, really ambitious women. And I remember having this feeling of, oh my goodness, like, why? Like, what's going on here? And the more I spoke to women, the more I realized that actually once they had become a stay-at-home mom, they were basically redundant from the employment world, unless they wanted to go back and, you know, work in a grocery store or do something that was much below their level. And I just couldn't get my head around it. It was something that just seemed glaringly unfair, really. And I think, again, going back to this, having a girl, it was like, how can I change the world that she can have a child? She can choose to stay at home with her child, but she can also go back to a fabulous career. How can I change that? And one of the ways that I came up with was that we need to empower women. We need to give them a voice, because I think as women, we sit back and let everybody do everything. And I think we nearly are apologetic for taking time off to have children. I think we're apologetic for taking breaks in our careers. Your career could be 40 or 50 years long. You're talking about a break of maybe 4 or 5 years if you have multiple children. Your career should not be interrupted to the point that you can't get back on the ladder.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, how do I change this? And there was just one time a Netflix documentary come up. Tony Robbins was on, and I just had this realization of I should be a coach. Now, I don't know if it was the Facebook world at play, but the next thing an ad came up on my Facebook literally minutes after I'd watched the documentary. And it was for a coaching course in Frankfurt that was actually from quite a prestigious school in London. So I got in touch with them. I did the course. I loved the course. It was, I think, I mean, you go through school and you kind of do things that you kind of fall into things. I think at times I chose to do this and I absolutely loved it. I loved the course. I loved that it empowered people. I loved that it gave people back their accountability. It helped them to control the shape of their lives. And I, again, going back to how women are treated in society, I think we're constantly putting people first. I think this empowerment is giving women back the control and saying, actually, there is a lot you control. You can control. There is a lot that you can shape in your life, and you do get to choose where you're going. And that just, all of that just appealed to me. And that's basically how I got into coaching.
Fantastic. I think our paths have been quite similar in that respect, in that I'd come to Germany. I'd been a trained teacher in the UK. I was doing my head teacher training. And then I came to Germany and my qualifications were not recognized for me to teach in a school here. Private schools, yes, but not the mainstream schools. And it just completely took the wind out of my sails. I was like, well, what am I going to do then? And I ended up being very fortunate in getting a job at a private international school for the first couple of years that I was here. And then I started my family as well and had a long break. And then it was as my youngest was 2. It was at that point when he went back, I was like, what am I going to do now? And I ended up starting courses for children in English in Heidelberg, which has been wonderful. And that was great fun. But I actually
took part in as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Molly used to go to them.
Yeah. So that was great. And that was with the expat community as well, which I just loved being a part of. But you do get to the point where you're like, okay, I want to make a difference to as many people as I can. And I want to show women that it doesn't have to be difficult on a daily basis, which is how I got involved in the Con Mari and the organizing. So it's quite a similar path in that respect. Expat women, I don't know whether you would agree with this, but my experience was, having taught at the international school, that a lot of women find themselves in the position that they've come over to another country because of husband's job. Now, when you and your husband came to Germany, you were both coming over, or he was coming over for a job and you were sort of following him. That was different to when you moved to the UK, to England, mainland England. You were then both going because of your careers. And so a lot of these women, I think, find themselves in a foreign country because their husbands have got a job. They're focusing on helping the children settle because that's your main concern. Are the kids going to be happy? We've done this to them. They've got to be okay. And they sort of almost put themselves on the back burner, making sure everyone else is all right, and lose their identity. They lose the network they've had before. In our case, we didn't have the language, so that's a bit of a barrier, to put it mildly, at the very start. And I think they're very often very educated women who have had these amazing jobs and careers, but then aren't able to work in the country they've moved to. It's very often because they're there for such a short time with husband's job that they don't get a work permit, or however the system works in the country they've gone to. It's hard. I think it's really hard.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you've just basically described that so perfectly. And yeah, you're right. It's really hard. And I think the one thing that you've left out is we don't have families here. So not only are you dealing with moving, you're dealing with your husband starting a new job and he's going to be really focused on that. You're dealing with transition with the kids. You're dealing with, I mean, all the administrative things that go into that, like finding schools, finding doctors, finding dentists, finding after school activities. And we do not have anybody yet to just say, can you take my kids for 15 minutes while I just go and get a shower in peace? You can't exaggerate enough how difficult that is. It's a very difficult position. And the other thing, as you said, and as I said earlier, most of the women that I met were very well educated, had great experiences, great careers, and all of a sudden they're flung into this life where everything revolves around the house, the kids, things that you just were not prepared to commit to 100%. While your husband goes off, I mean, I had this, my husband was flying business class all around the world and I was stuck at home breastfeeding, exhausted. My house looked like a bomb had gone off in it. And he'd be phoning me saying, oh, you wouldn't believe it, I didn't get business class this time, you know, and I'd be going, oh my goodness, really?
I haven't had a shower.
Exactly. I mean, there was times where you're like, oh my goodness, we are living two completely different lives. And it's completely true. We were living two different lives. You have to put it in there as well. Even in the strongest of relationships, there's going to be resentment. There has to be resentment.
Yeah.
And then you've got the mum guilt, where your kids aren't seeing their aunties, aren't seeing their grandparents. There is a whole, you could write a book on it. You could write a book on the emotions that we go through just as these, I know it's maybe not the most appropriate term, but I like to say trailing spices, because that's what you're doing. You're trailing after your husband to wherever his career is going to take you.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's so many terrifying aspects of relocation that I think until you've actually experienced it, you just can't imagine. I remember taking my middle daughter, who was permanently having nosebleeds, to the hospital. My German was okay by this point, but your German is based on what you've been using up until this point. So you're thrown into a new situation and suddenly you don't have the vocabulary. And the doctors at the hospital were trying to explain to me she would need this procedure and she needed a general anaesthetic. And I was like, no, 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 she'll be fine. And I wouldn't let them give her a general anaesthetic. And it turns out she was the first child in Heidelberg ever to have this procedure without a general anaesthetic, because my German was not good enough to have that discussion. My poor daughter. Anyway, she did very well. It was all fine in the end. But it's just crazy, the things that come up that you wouldn't even imagine could.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I mean, we ended up in A&E quite a few times, or the emergency room, however you want to say it. Exactly. It's a completely different terminology. It's not the words that you're used to, which is the kindergarten talk or the playground talk. And it is very frightening having to deal with that. I think for me, I was quite lucky with Heidelberg that most doctors did speak English and very good English. But there were moments where I just didn't know what was going to be happening.
No, I remember even being pregnant with my first daughter, and I took myself off to a pregnancy yoga class in German. So I'm lying there on the floor and listening to this woman talking, not understanding a word she was saying, because my German was terrible at this point. And she was saying this word over and over again. And I got home and I said to my husband, what was she saying? And I repeated what I thought she'd said. And he was saying, she was telling you to breathe. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm about to have a baby and I don't understand the word breathe. How am I even going to get through this birth?
I have quite a funny story, actually. My husband, I took a really bad tonsillitis when I was nine weeks pregnant with my son. And I told him to phone the doctor because I could not get a word out. And I said, make sure you say that I'm pregnant, which is sie ist schwanger. And he said, sie ist schweine. Like, she is a pig.
She is a pig.
And he said he couldn't understand what they were saying after that because the girl kept laughing. And I think they worked it out. But oh my goodness. Again, just those tiny things that you think are so simple, just they're difficult. It's hard.
I got a chest infection my very first winter here before I had kids, and I had to get the tram to this doctor, and I didn't know where I was going, and I'd looked up in the dictionary beforehand how I said my chest, and I told him that my chest, as in like a chest, like a pirate's chest that you would open rather than he nearly cried laughing, and I was feeling so ill, and I was just like, no, this can't be happening to me. Terrible. Okay, so you have been through the situation of relocating children to another country. Can you share some practical tips with us of things that you think are really useful for parents to help their children with these transitions?
I mean, the transitions themselves, I mean, you can talk about the typical things like get them into extracurricular activities. I always find, and by the way, this goes for yourself, I find it's like dating. That's the only way I can describe it. It's like trying to find friends, and you have to put yourself out there. I think the thing that you have to understand that when you're relocating to a different country, it's very typical that the people in that country have had their friends from they've been children, and they're not really in the market to look for other friends. So I kind of feel it's my job to change their mindset in that, especially if you meet someone who you feel, actually, I've got something going on with this person. So if your kids are meeting up with people, don't be afraid to go over and say, can I get your number? Can we get the kids together for a play date? The other thing that I find is that it's us that has to initiate the play date. Don't expect them to call you. Do it yourself. I think if you expect people to call 90% of the time, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. So what I normally do is I'll say, okay, let's get a play date, and I'll text them when I get home. Oh, it was really lovely to meet you. When do you have free time? I think if you leave it longer, even say a week or two, the person might forget who you are. So it's really important to do that immediately. Same thing with school. I have sent my kids in with post-it notes saying, Molly, we'd like a play date with your child. Here's my telephone number. Get in touch.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so definitely. And the extracurricular activities, get them into anything. I mean, in our family, we have a rule that they have to do one musical instrument and they have to do one sport. And everything outside of that, if they want to try, we're up for that too. So get them into extracurricular activities. However, the biggest thing, the biggest bit of advice for that transition is what I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, is you have to be child-led. Your kids are not in control of what happened. If they're having moments of, I just need to cry, just let them cry. If your baby is having a tantrum, let them have a tantrum. Just let them get it out. That is their way of expressing how they're feeling. And just be there for them. Just as I said, you need to be confident. If you are not confident in your decision of your relocation, your kid's going to feel that.
Yeah.
So you need to be the backbone for them to make sure that they know this was a decision that we made for our family and it's the best decision. Even if you don't feel that, you need to bring that across to your children. And as I said, let them grieve. Let them grieve the life that they had. Let them have all the emotions. Just sit with them. Just be confident. Just guide them and support them and let them know that no matter what happens, you've got their back.
I love that. And our family is very similar in that we really encourage the sharing of emotions and saying when we're not okay and that it's okay if you have a complete meltdown. No one's going to judge you for it. You just need to get that all out. I think that's really important. And I think the danger is if you're feeling guilty that you have put your child in this position, the danger is you're going to try and squash those emotions because you don't want to face yourself.
Yeah.
That you've created this. You have to just let them have that moment and accept that it is what it is. And everyone will get through it eventually, but everyone's different. It's going to take longer for one child than it perhaps will another. And that there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly normal.
I think that's a fabulous point. I think every child's different. And as I said, even my two children were totally different. And as you said, you have to just give them the time. For one child, they might just fit in perfectly and everything's going great. It could take a year, like you said, for your son. And I think you just have to let them have that emotion. Don't try and squash it. I think that's the hardest thing, because then you're making them feel as well as if they're doing something wrong, as if the way they're feeling is wrong. And it's not, it's just normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of mums especially find this really hard. It's okay to show your kids that you're not okay as well.
Yes.
Because it is a really difficult situation to be in to relocate. When I did it, as I said, I didn't have children, but I had days where I was absolutely miserable and I could just sit and cry the whole day because I couldn't speak to anyone or I didn't understand what the joke was or I didn't even know how to go into the shop and ask for something. And it is completely soul destroying as an adult to be in that position. And I think when you show children that you're struggling with something, it helps them realize that their own emotions are actually okay. I don't mean you need to sit and sob for hours in front of them, but it's okay to let them know that actually, yeah, I'm a bit down today as well. I'm missing Heidelberg, or I'm missing whichever country you've come from, and I'm missing my friends. And yeah, I don't get to see my mum as much anymore. That's sad too. So what can we do? How can we make this better? What can we do to stay in contact with these people? Should we do a video call or, find some creative ways? And I love your memory book idea.
Well, the memory book actually was a German idea. So Molly's kindergarten before she left actually, and Aiden's as well, they both put together a memory book and each child wrote a letter. It wasn't a letter, it was kind of just a something, like a good luck message or whatever else, and put a photograph of themselves in. So both of my kids still have those books. I think even if the kindergarten doesn't do that for you, I would go to them and ask, would you mind getting the kids to put together something? Because it was such a good tool. It was such a good tool when we moved here.
Yeah. It's amazing. Even as an adult leaving, my best friend put together a photo memory book for me. Wow. And my kids love looking through it even now and go, oh yeah, that was your friend before you came here. It's really fun. Okay, so let's just move on a little bit. We've talked about children. What can mums do to make the transition easier for them? You've already spoken about finding your new tribe, as it were, your new network.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing that when you've just arrived in a country and you don't know anybody? Where are your go-to places?
I mean, the first thing that I always do is I put in the name of the city and mum's group into Facebook. Mm-hmm. And there are always mum's groups. Now, the funny thing is when I moved to England, so that was 2011, that didn't exist. These Facebook groups didn't exist. But by the time I moved to Heidelberg in 2014, they did exist. And that's obviously where we know each other from, mm-hmm. as well as from our mum's group. These mum's groups are just gold. Like, honestly, they're the best resource that you can have. Even if it's not where you want to make friends, you just go on there. They're going to tell you about schooling, the best doctors, the best dentists. They will tell you everything in that area. So don't be afraid. I even posted before I moved to Indianapolis. I posted saying, hi, I'm moving from Ireland. And people were so welcoming. And people were like, I'd love to meet up with you if you have some time. So it was, that's where you get all of your information. You're going to find the best play parks. You're going to find the best indoor play parks. Anything you need is going to be on those mums groups. There's also meetup.com. I have to say that I haven't been as successful with meetup.com as I have been with the mums groups. The other thing, again, going back to Facebook, is any groups in the city. So if you are into walking, put in walking group Indianapolis and see what comes up. Any hobbies, crocheting Indianapolis, there are always groups. My other thing is just get out and about. As soon as you get there, get out and get to the play parks. That's where you're going to meet people. It's quite funny, especially here in America. It did happen to me in Germany. I obviously have an accent. People are very drawn to that. So as soon as I talk to my kids, people come over and I've met people that tell me either parents are from Northern Ireland or that they went to Northern Ireland once. And yes, I might not be friends with them, but it's nice just to have a chat with somebody. And they're always going to tell you, oh, you should go to this ice cream shop. Have you been to this restaurant? So it's a great place just to find out information.
Yeah. And I think the younger your children are, the easier it is.
I agree with that.
Having moved even just one village hop, and all my kids are older, and we're not going to the kindergarten or the local school. They're all being schooled outside of our village or little town. It's so, so hard to connect with people. And then 2 years ago, we got a dog. And I know you've got a dog in the last little bit as well. And then suddenly we know everyone in the village. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think people should just get a dog because they want to meet people. They should get a dog because they want a dog. But it's a great way of connecting with people.
Yeah. It's funny now because I know the dogs in our neighborhood more than I know their parents.
Yeah.
And my dog knows them too. As soon as he sees them, he's like, that's my best friend. And he has to run over to them. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I have said this quite a few times. I actually feel that for the older couples that are relocating, it's much harder. I think if you don't have children, that you're taken to kindergarten and you're meeting people or you're being invited to birthday parties. And as you said, dogs as well. Dogs are a great way to meet people.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Get a dog for having a dog and not because you want to meet people, because they're hard work.
It is a lot of work. It really is. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you have your business, your coaching mm-hmm. business, and what exactly are you offering? If people come to your website, what are they going to see?
So I do two styles of coaching. When I lived in Europe, I only did European style coaching. European style coaching is a lot more hands-off. So it's one session per month for up to a period of about 6 months. It is much more about giving you accountability. It's about empowering you to make better decisions about your life. So for me, that is what I was trained in. That's what I'm best at doing. I also do an American style coaching for the American market, basically. And it is much more, you get a lot more guidance, you get a lot more support. So that would be two sessions a month. If you want more, we can talk about that too. It goes on for as long as you need it to go on. You can decide yourself when you have had enough, but it's much more guided. That would be much better if, for example, you are maybe going through different things and you need to be coached on different areas in your life. That's a good way of doing it. Where with the European style coaching, that would be maybe if you're just relocating. So something, there's like one big transition happening in your life. And you're trying to just get through that. That's the European's great. The European style is great for that. Where, say, for example, you're a mum who's working, that's trying to balance everything, that's trying to keep a social life like all of us, and trying to keep your family life together. The American style coaching is much better for you because we can go through each of those areas and fix them. I offer coaching for women who mostly work in corporations, but it's mostly mums. So mums from any type of background. If you're an entrepreneur, that's fine. If you're a stay-at-home mum who's maybe just relocated, if you're a working mum who's relocated, it's mostly mums that I work with. And it's mums that maybe are just finding that life's just getting a bit on top of them. And they're looking for a way to find that balance, to find their voice, to find their confidence. Especially as we've touched on earlier, if you're losing your identity, you feel like you've lost your inner core.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us can relate to that at some point in our journey with having a young family. You do feel very lost, and for a period of time, you're trying to reestablish your identity and work out where you fit in the whole scheme of things. It's great that there are people like you out there to guide women through this when they realize that it has got too much. So Grania, it's been amazing to have the opportunity to talk with you today. I think there are a lot of women out there, myself included, who could definitely benefit from your services. So tell us where we can find you.
Okay, so you can find my website at www.strongpathcoaching.com, and that's the name of my company, Strong Path Coaching. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm there as Strong Path Coaching. Now, my Instagram is a bit more different. It's not just about coaching. I will put things on about what I'm up to with my kids. I'll let you know if I'm traveling. So it's a bit more interesting. I'm also on LinkedIn for those of you who are also on LinkedIn. And again, it's a bit more diverse than just coaching. I'll tell you a bit about what's going on in my life. I'll post things about corporations and women in corporations. And I'm also on Facebook. So you can find me, on LinkedIn, you'll find me as Grania McConnell. And I also have a Strong Path Coaching account. And on Facebook, I'm on as Strong Path Coaching.
Fantastic. So what I will do is I will put all of those links in the description for the podcast so that anyone listening can easily find you. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I think we could have gone on for a whole other hour. there's so much to talk about, and I had lots of other things I wanted to ask you, so perhaps we'll save those for another time. I think that would be great.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I think your downfall was inviting an Irish person on, because we do like to talk. But thank you so much for having me, and I would be honored to be back on again.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you've enjoyed this episode, please send the link to a friend you know would appreciate it. Subscribe and leave a review. I look forward to bringing you more organising tips next time. But if you can't wait until then, you can go to my website or find me on Instagram at caro.thor or on Facebook at Caroline Organiser. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to guiding you on your journey to find your clutter-free ever after.